You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora whanau, you are on BFM Breakfast. This is Toro e Moa with The Loop. This is taken from his brand new album Mahal, which is out today via Dead Oceans. It's his seventh studio album. Talk about prolific. Toro e Moa is Chaz Bear, and I had a really nice chat with him about this record. It's been 5 years in the making. He's put out other albums between the start of this one and its release. And obviously the pandemic for everyone's been very strange, but for him it was quite a useful time for reflecting on how he's making music and the ways he's engaging with his audience. So let's have a little listen. This is my kōrero with Chaz Bear.
You know, I wrote this record here in the Bay. What's funny is that I started it in the Bay back in 2016. And then I brought it with me to Portland and worked on it there, which is where I got Ruben to add his part. And then I ended up moving back to the Bay, still working on this record, still putting out Boo Boo and Outer Peace. Hmm. And then here we are. So it's been with me for a while. It's a bit like my diary, and it's kind of like, it's been a passion project to get this one done. Because I was working on it while promoting other records and making electronic records, but to still have this guitar record sort of ready to go as well. It was a project of passion, really. So it's just like something I felt like it was time to get this side of me out to the people.
Totally. It is, for fans of your music, it has a natural flow on from other projects of yours, but it is quite it's quite lyric heavy, which I think I really have enjoyed about this. And what I really like about your lyrics is that you give us just enough to hook us into the story you're telling, but you're not revealing all of your secrets. How did you approach, I guess, the lyricism of this album?
Yeah, I just really felt like my lyrics had suffered for long enough, and I never really prioritized them. And it's something I've been practicing for, like I said, the past 5 years, like really working on my poetry and prose, and just trying to see what it is I like about words and trying to avoid cliches wherever possible. So it's interesting, like a lot of it came down to the cadence and like how I want to present my voice to the audience. With it being post-pandemic or pandemic, like I feel like I wanted my tone to be I wanted it to feel natural and not too invasive to how everyone is feeling right now.
I really love how much humor you've put into these tracks, and I think that comes through in the videos as well that you've made for them. They're really joyful, they're quite funny, and they're unexpected. Is the visual part of your process important to you as well?
It is now. I don't think I gave it too much thought to before. For previous records, mainly I didn't see the importance of it until we were all watching content from our computers during the quarantine. So like, I was just like, man, I really need to come correct with these videos and the visuals, because that's probably the strongest way to communicate these days as an artist. And it's not going to be on the road all the time. It's just physically not possible with the pandemic and world affairs. So I just kind of felt like it's time to mature a little bit and really just invest in videos and like make films and things like that, where it's like I want to show that, you know, people's, like when people are investing in an artist or buying a ticket or a record, like it's ultimately going back into the art. And that's what I really wanted to show, is that like I want to give people what they're paying for. So I feel like it's important to return that.
Nothing here to see, factories overseas. Cut down all these trees, we're building Model Ts. No more drama, please, no more drama, me. I'ma throw it up all over all the seats. This man in the magazine. Just us, we wanna see this man in the back. magazine. It's just us we wanna see.
I think we have all learnt to experience music in a new way over the last couple of years. And sometimes that's been really amazing. It's opened up all these new possibilities. And sometimes it's been frustrating. I imagine for someone like yourself, who is such an incredible live performer, and your live performances are quite legendary for anyone who's ever seen you play. How have you found the last couple of years of not really being able to do that?
Felt honestly like a nice relief, in a sense that like I can take the time to reassess, and like I said, with the same way with I did I work on with how I've been approaching my videos, I'd like the live show to be as well like an experience where you're like, you feel like you're getting what you're paying for. I don't want to bring an experience that's less than, so to have that time to honestly like save money or to think about other stage designs. Like, I feel like that's something I just needed to do, but I wasn't capable of because things were just so go, go, go.
Yeah.
So it feels good to have, you know, this natural break. And I've always wanted to make this jump myself. I just never could give myself the time.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to ask you about the collaborators on this record, because you just mentioned before Ruben Nielsen's been involved, Sophie Royer, who I'm a big fan of, is on here as well, and some other mates as well, Salami, Joe Rose, Louie. Tell us a wee bit about how you selected friends to be involved with this project.
Yeah, I really felt like, you know, a record like this needs a lot of context to really show how indebted I sort of am in this sound, and it's not just a phase, but it's also something that I wanted to really put my foot down and just make it known that like this is it's not a phase. Like, these are collaborators and musicians that I'm a genuine fan of and I like to play and jam with.
Yeah.
So it's mostly for the new listeners who aren't familiar with me. I think it's important to give them some context and know what worlds of music I'm actually trying to channel and bring to this record. So like Salami Rose, she's from here in the Bay. I've met her. I was a fan of her music before I even met her. So I was fortunate enough to like I moved my studio into this building, and it happened to be down the hall from the tape label that released her.
Oh, cool.
Tape. And yeah, Jamie from that label, Hot Record Society, just introduced us, and it took, you know, several years for us to get some music done, but that's kind of how it goes. But yeah, everything was natural, and it felt like very, very much like a mutual understanding of the sound that we're trying to channel. Sophie Royer, for example, she's another artist who just knows exactly what she wants and knows how to channel that sound and era and aesthetic without thinking twice. Like, she is just elegant, and she really can channel that Jane Birkin side.
Yeah.
So that's something I really wanted for this record, is to like really reinforce my French Gainsbourg influence and sort of reinforced those 60 mod qualities.
Enjoy about this record that you've got a lot of sampling and a lot of interludes, I guess you could call them, or moments that are pulled from other places. It's a little bit like listening to some kind of cosmic frequency or something, you know, changing between radio stations a little bit. When do you know you've got like a space and a track for a sample like that, and where do you find them from?
Yeah, great question, because that was my favorite part of this record, probably. It was just coming up with all of those interstitials and that's where you get to really paint the picture.
Yeah.
You can hear the mud, you can hear the tires going through the mud and stuff like that. So like, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I feel like is, it only happens once the first two initial steps are made. Like, say you have the record and you have the Jeep, great. Now it's time to integrate those.
Yeah.
How do I do that so that this Jeep isn't completely random?
Yeah.
So, boom, put it in the record. Like, let listeners know that this is a vehicle that isn't perfect and that it breaks down and that we actually had to fix it a bunch of times. And like, it's not this, it's not an entirely curated experience, but it's a pseudo documentary at a certain point.
Yeah. So are some of those recordings that you've done yourself, and then are some you've sourced from online, or where did they all come from?
Yeah. I mean, mostly iPhone recordings. Like, I'm just using my phone again to sort of not only, I think using a cell phone for field recordings is not like, not a bad thing. I think it's perfect that yeah. device and tool is on us at all times. So to bring in my real life experiences into the record, you can hear me humming, making songs on the fly, or you can hear me playing a riff that never turned into a song.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those types of things that let the listener in on the artist process, those are the fun parts, I feel like.
Listen back to some of the songs you've been working on for 5 years. Do they feel different to you now, or is it constantly evolving with the way, I guess, time has played out over the last couple of years?
Yeah, just to be transparent, you know, there's two tracks on there from that era. It was The Medium and Postman.
Mm.
And those are the two that really did get me motivated to continue down this road of like a funkier version of What For, you know, like a more raw version of What For. So those two tracks right there are probably, they were the hardest to complete.
Mm.
And they were also the ones that I felt like, because I was able to sort of give them the time test and let them sit and marinate with me for a while, I felt a little bit more confident releasing them, knowing that I still like the tracks, you know, 4 or 5 years later.
Yeah.
The rest of the album, I did start finishing in 2018. And it wasn't until 2020 where I really got to just wrap it up.
Mm.
And that's when I hit up Salami Rose and Sophie Royer and Alan Palomo to add some synth parts and stuff like that. So like, if anything, I had plenty of time to sort of double, like, just like second guess myself. And
yeah.
Luckily I didn't back out of any of those tracks, but it was a bit of a challenge just because you don't want it to get stale. So yeah, I felt like what saved some of the older songs was just the lyrical content, like Mr. Postman.
Yeah, that's such a great track. I mean, it definitely is anything but stale. It's a fantastic album. Thank you, Chaz, so much for speaking with me about it.
Thank you so much.
That was Chaz Bear of Torui Moa speaking with me about his brand new record, Mahal, which is out today via Dead Oceans. The track we're currently listening to is The Medium, which you can hear the very distinctive Ruben Nielsen guitar licks in there. We also listened to Clarity, which features Sophie Royer, Magazine, which features Salami Rose Joe Louie, and The Loop, which was one of the lead singles. And now we're going to have a listen to Postman.
Hello, Mr. Postman. Did I get any mail today? No? Okay, thank you. I'll see you tomorrow then. Mr. Postman. Did I get mail? Did I get a letter? Did I get a postcard? Woo! Mr. Postman.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.